heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons.
This is Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. Call now with your question, 224-585-WSFI. That's 224-585-9734.
Welcome to this episode of Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm Father Michael Sparrow from the Bellarmine Jesuit Retreat House in Barrington, and I look forward to taking your phone calls and praying with you today. Call now at 224-585-9734. Again, that's 224-585-9734. Before we take your calls, I'd like to talk with you today about the healing power of forgiveness. Forgiveness. One theme that Jesus emphasizes over and over again in the scriptures is the importance of forgiving. We hear it in the Lord's Prayer, don't we, when the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus says, "This is how you are to pray." And in the middle of the prayer, he says, "Forgive us as we forgive." As we address our Heavenly Father, we ask him to forgive us as we forgive others. If you think about what that phrase means in the Lord's Prayer, it's going to stop us in our tracks. Because the way that Jesus puts it elsewhere in the scripture is, the measure we measure out will be measured back to us. So in other words, if we want to approach the Lord with and have him receive us with joy and compassion and merciful forgiveness, we need to pray for the grace to be able to extend that to others. That's very, very difficult to do. Our Jewish brothers and sisters have a saying, "Only God can forgive." And I think what they mean by that is what the poet put it, "To err is human, to forgive is divine." When we experience the power of God's forgiveness at work in our life, we know that that's not coming from us, that that's God's grace at work in our hearts. I use this analogy, or this explanation. There's a difference between feeling forgiveness and choosing forgiveness. I think we have to begin by acknowledging that forgiveness is a choice. And as we continue to live into that choice and we pray for that choice, gradually our emotions catch up. But forgiveness, like love, is choosing to forgive another. Thomas Aquinas, the great doctor of the church and Catholic teacher, recognized that there are over 20 stages of forgiveness. So it's not simply black or white, I forgive or I don't forgive. Forgiveness is a process, and that process begins with our choosing to forgive. One of the priests that writes for Dynamic Catholic, Matthew Kelly's organization, puts it this way, that there are three steps in the process. There's first acknowledging that we've been hurt, not denying it, not pretending that it didn't happen. It's acknowledging, "You hurt me." Stage number two is feeling the weight of that. What did it cost me because of the way that you hurt me? So to minimize it and to say, "Well, no big deal, no big deal." Well, that's not true. Feel the effect of what this person did to you. But stage number three is the most significant. I'm choosing not to hold it against you. I release you from this burden. I release you from having to pay me back. I choose, because God has forgiven me first, I choose to forgive you. So acknowledging the hurt, feeling the weight of that, and then choosing to release the other from the burden. Father Matt Lynn, who has written so much on healing, takes it a step further. He and his brother and sister-in-law connected to the stages of death and dying by Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, those five stages, which you may remember. They're denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Let's take just a couple of minutes and go through those. Stage number one in working toward forgiveness, as they detail it in their book, Don't Forgive Too Soon. Stage number one is denial, is acknowledging that there's a tendency in every one of us to minimize the hurt, to deny it, to pretend I haven't been hurt. That actually stops the healing process. We need to acknowledge that we have been hurt. Stage number two is feeling what sometimes rises up, often rises up, which is anger inside of us. If somebody walks up and slaps us, and the involuntary response is to be flushed with anger. That's a natural consequence when we've been hurt. Anger actually helps to protect us, but we don't want to get stuck in our anger. Stage number three is bargaining. It's going back in our own minds and saying, if I had done this, then maybe they would have done that. Well, if I do this, then maybe they're going to do that. It's trying to weasel our way out of the hard emotional work that is forgiveness. Stage number four is depression. Is falling into that trap and feeling, woe is me, sorry for ourselves. Why did this happen? I don't deserve this. This shouldn't have happened. I'm powerless to change it. Step number five is accepting that reality and choosing the pathway of forgiveness, choosing not to let that hurt define the relationship, releasing the other person from the burden. Those five stages, denying that we were hurt, feeling the anger that it's caused, bargaining to try and get out of it, falling into depression, accepting the reality and moving on, releasing the other from that burden. Those five stages don't necessarily come in order, and we can slide back and forth, but for a deep, deep wound, you can be sure that you're going to be working your way through all five of those stages. When I think about praying for forgiveness with another person, I usually use the image of a triangle of forgiveness. And I think it actually begins with forgiving ourselves. Would you agree with me that the hardest person to forgive in your life is often yourself? Because we're not yet the people we want to be, especially if we're devout and we're prayerful and we're really trying to grow in grace, and then we stumble and fall and we hurt another person or we fall into sin. We can be harder on ourselves than anyone else would ever be. The first person we need to forgive is ourselves. In a very simple but powerful prayer I find myself using often is, Lord Jesus Christ, in your holy name, I forgive myself for, and then fill it in the blank for whatever it is that you're angry, frustrated with yourself for. I often try to jam too many things into the course of a day, and the result is I'm running from one task to another, and I often have to begin by saying, well, I'm sorry I'm late. So along the way, when I'm recognizing, oh, I'm feeling bad, here I am running late, Lord Jesus Christ, in your holy name, I forgive myself for being late, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then follow it up with an apology. Or if you said something stupid to someone you love, you begin by apologizing to them. But even after the person has forgiven you, we can hold on to those resentment and hurts. And so we need to forgive ourselves. The second one is what we usually think of forgiveness, is forgiving somebody who has hurt us in thought, word, or deed, by what they've done or by what they haven't done. Whether, and here's a tricky part of this, we may have forgotten the hurt that somebody perpetrated, but we never forgave them. It's buried alive inside of us. The person may even be deceased, but that doesn't mean that we've forgiven them. Choose to forgive that other person. And a third one that's surprising is to forgive God. If something hard really happens in your life, say someone you love dies suddenly from a tragic accident, who among us isn't tempted to raise our fist to heaven and shake our hand toward heaven and say, God, I don't believe this. I don't deserve this. Or we imitate the prayer of St. Teresa of Avila, who prayed, Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them. Now we need to allow God to be God. It's forgiving ourselves, it's forgiving other people, and it's forgiving God. It's a choice. It's praying into that deep truth that Jesus taught us, forgive us as we forgive. For the measure we measure out will be measured back to us. Again, Thomas Aquinas said that there are over 20 stages of forgiveness, and as we work our way toward those stages, through those stages of forgiveness, gradually our emotions will be healed. But it doesn't start with healing our emotions. It starts with that choice of releasing the other person from the burden. Sometimes people fall into a trap and say, Father Michael, I don't want to forgive that person because what they did was wrong. And if I forgive them, then it's like saying, it never happened. No, that's not the case. To forgive another person is to choose to acknowledge that what you did really hurt me, but I choose not to hold it against you. We're going to take a short break right now on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. You're listening to Healing the Whole Person. I'm Father Michael Sparrow, and we'll be right back to pray with you. If you or a loved one is in need of prayer, please call us now at 224-585-9734. Or if you have a question or a story about forgiveness that you'd like to share, again, call us at 224-585-9734.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light. Only on WSFI Catholic Radio Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
My name is Father John Grigas. I'm the rector of the Shrine of St. Max and Colby at Marytown. I'm a priest, and as priests, we are responsible for forming you in the presence of Christ through the sacraments, through the preaching, through everything else. But you are the Christ that goes out into the world and brings the good news. And WSFI is one of the main means. And so God bless all that WSFI does. And please support WSFI in whatever means that you can so that this wonderful station may continue to broadcast the good news and evangelize our culture.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Well, welcome back. Again, this is Father Michael Sparrow from the Bellarmine Jesuit Retreat House, and you're listening to WSFI 88.5 on Healing the Whole Person, and we're talking about forgiveness. If you have any questions or prayer requests or a story that you'd like to share about forgiveness, please give us a call at 224-585-9734. We did have one prayer request, and so I'd like to begin with that. This is for Roxanne's sister Judy, who suffered a heart attack recently, and also for Julie, who is struggling with ovarian cancer and is going to have surgery tomorrow. Let's lift up a prayer for them. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we bless you. We thank you for your grace at work in our life that can do so much more than we ask or imagine. We pray that all who hear this radio broadcast or the later the podcast might be touched by your healing presence, might know the strength that comes from believing in you, that your grace can do so much more than we ask or imagine. When you walk the earth, Lord, you touch those whose bodies were broken, and as a sign of your love, you heal them physically, that emotionally and spiritually they might draw closer to you. We lift up our sister Judy, who is recovering from a heart attack. We lift up Julie, who will be undergoing surgery for cancer tomorrow. We lift up all those, Lord Jesus, who are in recovery right now. We pray that you would draw them to your love, that you would touch each of us and inspire us to move out in this year of mercy, to be messengers of mercy. Inspire us, Lord, for through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, to visit the sick, to pray with the sick, to bring them the gift of the sacraments, to give them the gift of human touch, to share with them a prayer. Lord Jesus, when sickness afflicts our bodies, even the strongest among us are tested in faith. We pray for those who are undergoing that trial right now that the cross of sickness has fallen upon. Lift them up, Lord. Give them the strength to keep their eyes fixed on you and to continue to follow in your footsteps. Grant them the healing that they need to draw closer to you in their bodies, in their minds, their hearts, and their souls. We ask your blessing upon them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes a block to our experiencing the forgiveness of God's grace is our image of God. We hold on to the image of God as an angry judge. And there are parables, such as we heard just last Friday in the scripture, where Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you will not be released until you pay the last penny. The way I interpret that is there is a fiery furnace of love in the heart of God that's imaged in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. When Jesus first appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the first image of the Sacred Heart was of a blazing sun. And then in subsequent images, it was a fire that came out of his heart that was pierced with a lance and surrounded with a crown of thorns. That's to say that there is this fiery love, this passionate love in the heart of God. When we fall in love with Jesus more completely and we allow forgiveness to fill our hearts, then we are in turn set on fire with that love for the Lord. That's imaged in the halos that surround Jesus, the saints. And it's pictured in the hearts of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? When we open ourselves to that love, we're set on fire. When we resist that love, it becomes a torturous flame. It's not that God changes. It has everything to do with the openness that we experience. So when we enter into the power of forgiveness, our hearts are set on fire with God's love. When we resist that and we hold on to through resentments and hurts, we experience God's love as torturous. We have a question now from Joan McHugh. Joan, are you on the line?
Father, I'm here. And I have a sort of a mini reflection and then a question. My reflection is, some years ago, I had a lot of struggles in our marriage, and I learned and I read that to forgive someone was very important to my own healing, which you've been talking about. So I willed to forgive my husband for all that I blamed on him. But in addition, I went to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And it was when I went to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, I bowed my spirit, so to speak, and I read, too, that Jesus told Sister Faustina that the greatest miracles take place, his greatest miracles of mercy take place in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And then I experienced a miracle after I went to Reconciliation, and God gave me a dream that it's too long to share now, but it ultimately led me to the root of the blockage that was causing such anger and such a need for me to lash out. I was blaming my husband, but it was inside of me. And so God answered my prayer by really showing me that the root was inside of me. And I want to just urge listeners out there to take advantage of reconciliation, because it's so powerful. Jesus told Sister Faustina that the greatest miracles take place in the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
Amen.
And Father, would you comment on that?
Amen. 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 I'm at the Bellarmine Jesuit Retreat House and work in the retreat ministry. And every weekend, we have the Sacrament of Reconciliation available. And sometimes the people that come have been away from the sacrament for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Virtually every Saturday night, we have a healing service where we pray for physical, emotional, and spiritual healings. And I've started offering the Sacrament of Reconciliation late into the night on Saturday nights after that healing service, because the retreatants, their hearts are touched, and they recognize that if I want to pray for God's healing, I want to forgive others, I need to recognize that there's a lot that's not right in my life. To bring that into the sacrament is to experience in such a profound way God's healing grace. Some of our Protestant brothers and sisters would quote the scriptures and say, I don't need to go to a priest, I don't need the sacrament, I can just go right to God. What the 12-step program has discovered, and this is not a program of Catholics, it's people who are struggling with addictions. What they've discovered is, yes, we can go right to God, but it's so easy to lie to ourselves, and we need to confess our wrongdoings to another person. That's the 12-step wisdom. Now, what the Catholic Church takes it another step is to say the priest stands in for Christ. So we're confessing directly to God, but through another human being. And there's profound grace that comes in that. To circle back, Joan, to what I talked about at the very opening of the program, Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery, that the self-righteous Pharisees bring this woman to Jesus and they say, she was caught in the very act of adultery, and Moses commanded that such women should be stoned. Jesus's powerful response, let the one among you without sin cast the first stone. When we are praying, when we're angry with another person, we do so well to scour our own hearts through the Sacrament of Reconciliation, that to recognize, there but for the grace of God go I, that I'm a sinner myself, and I need to continue to confess my sin. And when I confess my sin, and I bring it into the power, when I do it with an act of contrition, and when I bring it into the powerful Sacrament of Reconciliation, it softens my heart, and it helps me see the hurts that I've endured in the context of my own sin. makes it much easier to forgive another person. Thank you, Joan, for that personal story. If there are other stories that our listeners would like to share from your own experience, please give us a call at 224-585-9734. Let me just share a story from my own life. My father struggled with alcoholism in his own life, and I used to get very angry at him because after he drank, he would become verbally and emotionally abusive. One of the things that really helped me in this regard was Jesus saying, "Call no man on earth your father." Now, I continued to call him Dad. I continued to call him Father. But I recognized that my dad was just another human being doing the best he could do. He had struggles and wounds from his own father, and his own father had struggles and wounds from his father, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. We're in this together to recognize that we all are sinners and we all stand in need of divine mercy. When we recognize our weakness, we celebrate God's strength. Let me close just with a wonderful story that Father Richard Rohr told about his mother when she was dying. She was at death's door, and the doctors couldn't understand why she was still alive. And she said, "You know, I can see my ancestors in my dreams. It's almost as if they're in the room, but there's like a web between me and them, and I can't get to them." Father Richard was wise enough to recognize that there were some forgiveness issues there, and he gathered together with his siblings and his father, and everyone in the room said, "Mother, we ask your forgiveness for any way that we've forgiven, that we've hurt you, and we ask your forgiveness. We forgive you and we ask your forgiveness." It went around the room, and then it came to her husband, and he began speaking, and then she turned her face to the wall and she fell asleep. Father Richard said, "Aha, there's something here." So when his mom woke up again, her husband was there, and he said, "Honey, I forgive you and I ask your forgiveness." And she struggled and said, "Well, if there's any way I might possibly have hurt you, I can't remember it, but if there is, I choose to forgive you." And as soon as she said that, her eyes brightened, and she said, "The web is gone. The web is gone." And she died later that day. That's the power of forgiveness. We want to open the doors of God's mercy to ourselves. Choose to forgive those who have wounded us. May Almighty God bless you and open your heart to the healing power of His love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's all the time we have for today for Healing the Whole Person. We've been talking about the healing power of forgiveness on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. Until next time, from all of us here at WSFI Catholic Radio, I'm Father Michael Sparrow from the Bellarmine Retreat House. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
You have been listening to Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this program or to purchase additional CD copies, please call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at wsfiradio.org.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.
You're listening to WSFI Antioch 88.5 FM Catholic Radio.